Hello and welcome to Focus on Business. I'm your host, Lee Strickland, and here's a reminder that the comments, views, and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily and usually represent the opinions of WCOM, its board, and its underwriters. I want to give a thank you to Focus Resources, who is the sponsor of Focus on Business. Full disclosure, Focus Resources is my consulting firm. And today, I'm going to bring in some of the consulting aspects that I do with my clients and answer some of the questions, or probably the key questions, my clients ask, my competitors ask, my vendors ask, colleagues that I'm on boards with. How do I get so much done in a day? And for me, that's even a bigger challenge because, as I've talked about on this program before, I am a chronic continuous migraine sufferer. I've had the same migraine for 38 years, and it's always there. And on a stormy day, it may be pegging the board at a 10 out of 10. Some days it's a 7, but most days it's at least a 5. And my neurologist always says the reason I continue to function is my faith, my determination, and that I work towards my strengths. I work the optimum times during the day when my brain is functioning, when I can ignore the pain, when I can get things done, and then I give myself a break. If I need to lay down, if I need to go to a dark room, if something needs to be quiet, or if I have to shift my focus because I have things I need to get done, but they're routine things. They're things that are really not that critical from the standpoint of it doesn't take higher level brain function. I can file things. I can make copies of things. I can read reference materials. I can search out reference materials. I can get things done that are routine, that require thought, but don't require me to engage in creative thinking, diagnosing problems, and those kind of things. And there's some time in each day, no matter how bad that migraine is, I can find to do my optimal tasks, to do my strengths, and to work. Even if that's 10 minutes here and 10 minutes there, then that little bit of optimum time when everything's working just right that I can set aside, that works for me, and I can get things done. For other people, that's not how they have to work. And so you might be a morning person and you get up early and you need to set aside 2 hours every day, the same 2 hours, to do the same type of tasks, your writing tasks or your email or returning calls or working on client projects, whatever it is that you do. But the key thing is, and I tell this to everyone, is to work to your own personal rhythm as much as possible. For me, writing at 4 o'clock in the morning when I get up with my cat, or at 6 o'clock in the morning, and that's not the optimal time for me to write. If I can get somewhere quiet in the house or away from home at a restaurant, and even though that may not seem quiet to you, but it's background noise, I can get a lot done. I've taught myself over the years to write places 10 to 15 minutes, even a half hour early, especially if I'm going to have a meeting somewhere where I can sit in a booth at a restaurant waiting for the other people that are come and have 15 minutes, 10 minutes, or a half an hour to work on tasks that are creative tasks, that are structure tasks, that are diagnostic tasks. And for me, that has worked. And I've written 6 books that way. I've written 800 articles that way. I work on my website content. I work on social media things in 10 and 15 minute increments. And again, that's the way my world gets structured for a lot of reasons, some of which are physical reasons. The other thing is, again, I get up early, but I am not a morning person. 10 a.m. comes on and my brain goes to a whole different level. But until 10 a.m., it doesn't matter if I'm up at 2 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock morning, 6 o'clock, 8 o'clock, or not getting up until 10 o'clock, which is very rare in my old age. But 10 a.m. Eastern time, for some reason, is where my brain kicks in. When I travel, I find that, you know, I might be in New Mexico, and that 10 a.m. Eastern time still clicks in. That's still whatever time zone I'm in. It's still 10 a.m. Eastern that my best time for working and getting things going starts happening. And then 10 to 2, that works. And at 2 o'clock, I have a lull in how my brain's working. And so I'm going to be picking stuff back up that are routine tasks, administrative, taking phone calls, even scheduling meetings with other people, because I can take in information, but it's not the same as when I need to process information. And so 6 p.m., to 10 p.m. is a great time for me to work. And that sounds crazy, but it works for me. It always worked for me in school, too. And in high school, I would do most of my studying from 10 o'clock at night till 2 o'clock in the morning. Sounds crazy, but that was the rhythm of my body and my brain, and it worked. And so what I've had to do in my business, in my writing career, is realize, don't look at how everyone else says to structure things, because it might work for them, but I'm not them, and you're not me. You might get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, write creatively for 2 hours, work on some fantastic creative client project for a couple hours, build software, work on your technology, work in the lab, whatever it is that you love to do, and that might be 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. for you. And then you might crash and not be good again until 2 in the afternoon. Or you may want to do the same thing every day at the same time. You get up at the same time, you have the same breakfast, you do the same routine, then you sit down at your desk at the same location every day at 8 a.m. and you work until noon, and you take an hour for lunch, and you go to the gym and you grab something to eat, and you repeat. Every day you want to do the same thing at the same time. And many of the books actually recommend that. I mean, creating a structure that lets you have a solid routine that you know what you're always going to be doing, and having ground rules as to what you're going to let yourself do during those times. And it means cutting the distractions. If you set an hour aside first thing in the morning and last thing at night to go through your email, to return phone calls, to look at messages, and that's what you do. And you can publish that. I have a colleague that does that. Once she leaves for her clients during the day, she will not respond to a text, a phone call, or an email unless it's one of those clients that's on her schedule. And everybody just has to know that's the way she operates. And so an emergency really has to be an emergency, and she has a code she gives her clients that if they're going to text her, that code needs to be in there for her to know that, yes, she needs to look at that, break out of her routine, and return a call because there's an emergency. For me, I don't like my emails to pile up. I don't like my phone messages to pile up. And so I'm going to check those. And I have an email come in whenever someone leaves a message on the main number for my business. And I can look at the number and say, that's a number I recognize. It's a client I recognize. It's something I need to handle now. It's something I need to handle later. And I harness technology because I know the way my day is. I don't do the same thing at the same time every day. But I do the same types of things at certain times during the day or during the week. Again, partially dictated by the fact that I'm had that chronic continuous migraine going on. And I have to ebb and flow with the weather impacts of that, with exposures to sound and noise and things that environmentally will impact the level of that migraine. 9 days out of 10, my clients are never going to know how much I'm struggling with a migraine that day. For decades, I didn't even let anyone know I had a migraine. My teachers didn't know. Very few of the students I went to school with in junior high and high school knew. But I was able to work to my strengths and incrementally do what worked. And so that's what I tell my clients to do. And I hear a lot of times from the clients that are doing their Myers-Briggs or other personality type tests that they're a certain category. And one client comes to mind. She was an ENFP, an extroverted, intuitive, feeling perceiver. And so what does that mean? Well, she gets her information and her energy from external interaction. She solves problems externally. She didn't like a lot of data. She didn't to make her decisions. She went with her gut instinct. She was more in the emotional end than just strictly numbers and digits and only what the facts gave her. And she didn't like structure. She didn't like organization. She didn't like to file things. She had piles of paper. That's sort of like the ENFP. And she kept telling me why she couldn't do things because of that personality test. What she didn't realize is I'm tested as an ENFP to such a degree that the graduate program I went to actually called me in after I took the test and said, this program is not designed for your personality type. We're really concerned whether you can do it. And I said, I'll be fine. You guys will go crazy because I'll do the program to the way it works for me. It's not going to look like, or it's not going to look like I interact with the same way, but I'll be fine. I'll get whatever I need out of it. You guys may struggle interacting with me. And I did. I clashed with teachers. I clashed with administrators on just how their structure was, because their structure was for someone, not me, and not me to a large degree. But because I knew my strengths, I knew how I processed information, and I also knew what I wanted to get out of the MBA program, I worked their system to my advantage and was the first one in my class to get a job. And so that shocked them, in that people frequently think a personality test or the way you've always done things or the way you're comfortable doing things is the only way you can do it. And that's just not it. Things in your environment, choices, habits, practices, behaviors, presumptions of how things are supposed to work for you and assumptions of how things are supposed to be done can constrain you and kind of muddy the waters on how much you can get done. And so I have tools, and I harness technology a lot to interact with my clients. And depending on what technology they are, what structure they need, and then how I need to share information with them, there's a lot of things that we can do to stay on the same page and adapt to them working a full-time job and starting a business, to me having multiple clients and availability being at different times. So there is not a routine day in my schedule. A typical Monday is several conference calls with organizations that I'm supporting for veterans groups or other nonprofits or clients. It's connecting with a couple clients on major projects to see where things stand, what do they need, giving them updates on where I am on what the parts I'm doing. It may be some accounting. It's scheduling and checking the schedule for the day. It's scripting the radio show or pre-recording a radio show like I'm doing today, and it's a Saturday. You know, it's just different things that you're going to do, and you're going to adapt based on the demands of on your time, your clients, your goals, and your projects that you're facing in a particular week. And for me, the same thing every day at the same time would drive me crazy. And so that adaptability, that flexibility to say, I'm not going to work Friday morning. I'm going to do something Saturday afternoon that I would normally do Friday morning because I need to change things around. Life happens. Life happens with clients. Your plans, your schedules change. But when you're working towards your strengths, when you're not looking for 3 hours of time in a week to get something done, but you're looking for, say, 3 10-minute increments of time 6 days a week, you're going to get the 3 hours. You can find blocks of time, a small increment of time of 10, 15, 20 minutes here and there that you build in. So if I set aside and make the decision that I'm going to block out 15 minutes 3 times a day, for 6 days a week. That's 45 minutes a day. I get a huge amount done on a specific project in those 15-minute increments 3 times a day. Can I turn it on in that and switch my attention span and focus in on things? Yes, that's the way my mind works. It may not work for you. You may need to set aside an hour each day at the same time or at different times to work on specific goals. What are your priorities? What's the best time of day for you to work? How many things are structured in your workplace, either your business that you own or where you're working, that dictate when you show up and where you go? And then how can you find ways to adapt and carve out time around those things so that you do get to do, in small increments, applied consistently, to work to your strengths, to set your priorities, to look at goals, and not just the goals of the fires you have to put out for the day, but the longer term goals that take some time, that incrementally doing a little bit every day gets you to that goal. And so we just need to be thinking about, what are our strengths? What are we really good at? Another pet peeve of mine that comes into play is too many people spend too much time trying to fix their weaknesses. Now, if you're rude, if you have a bad temper and you lose it at work, if there's anger management issues, if you're a poor communicator, those are things that, yes, you're going to want to work to improve how you handle those things. But I will never be a rocket scientist. But what I do in my business can be pretty complex, and I literally have a rocket scientist as a client, and what he sees and what I do the complexity of it boggles his mind because there are no mathematical formulas to doing a consulting things, to coming up with marketing, to dealing with HR issues, to, yeah, well, there are formulas in accounting, assets plus, you know, equals liabilities plus owner's equity, those kind of things, but they're not rocket science and putting a man on the moon or a satellite into orbit. And so what I think is incredibly complex, and if I sat down and I spent years studying it, I still wouldn't be happy doing it, but I can probably understand it. He looks at what I do with the accounting, the HR, the websites, the marketing, and all those kind of elements, and it boggles his mind. And he would be completely stressed out if he had to handle any of those things for himself. And he doesn't, because I do it for him. And so it's understanding what our strengths are, how we're set up, what we're meant to be working on, what we're happiest doing, and doing it at the best time for doing it. Now, I'm not thinking that, like, you're, when you're in school and your favorite part was recess. No, I'm not saying that. But it is setting aside time to define what your strengths are, to understand if you are an extroverted, intuitive feeling perceiver on the Myers-Briggs test, what does that constrain you versus what does it tell you your inclinations are? I love piles of paper. And if you looked at the desk that I'm at right now recording this radio show, it would definitely show you that I am a P, a perceiver, a piler of papers in the personal zones of my life. But if you walk into my office, you're going to find labeled folders, color-coded. You're going to find tracking sheets. If you're going to look at my calendar on any of my technology, the appointments are color-coded. So at a glance, I can see how many are clients and which things are personal and when I have administrative things and when there's a phone call and so on and so on. Why the dichotomy between piles of paper, which I still know where things are in those piles, versus complete organization in my office space, in my workspace? Because I don't like handling things a lot of times. I don't like details. The things that I'm doing in my office, if I handle the same piece of paper four times, or if I have to dig through files or look for something, that's a waste of the time and it just drives me crazy. In my personal life, the majority of things I do are creative things. And so that might be music, it might be reading, it might be painting, it's definitely writing. But whatever it is, the structure around that is much more fluid. And so piles don't really impact it the same way as if I'm building a financial model and I need the inputs and I need the reference information from clients and I need to know how the software is going to interface with another piece of software. And I have all of those elements organized so that when it's time to sit down and do the creative things, I'm not going to waste time finding the bits and pieces to pull together to create a business system. And so ask yourself, when is your brain firing on all cylinders? Is it a morning person, an afternoon person, a late evening, a middle of the night person? When and what do you like to do? And how does time fly when you're doing it? Are you good at blocking out time that's sacrosanct and you're not going to answer the phone, look at emails, get text messages, let someone knock on the door and interrupt you? Or do you like to do a little bit here and a little bit there? Do you like routine? Would establishing doing the same thing at the same time every day as much as possible be to your advantage? Do you have structures and things in your workplace, at your business that you own or where you work, that mandate you being at certain places at certain times? I know one of my last corporate jobs, I had a 7 a.m. meeting. Well, the rest of the department didn't even come in till 9. So I was in by 6 because I had prep for that meeting. And I'd get to that 7 a.m. meeting. And I'd finish that 7 a.m. meeting at 9 o'clock every day. And that was just when the rest of the department was getting in and getting ready to work. And they were socializing. And I was moving on to my next meeting. They stayed late. I came early. But it was a rhythm that was dictated by what the business needed and what the schedule was to support production and manufacturing and the computer implementations. And so the people in the manufacturing area were in early, and the ones in research and development were in later. And so everyone found a rhythm within the structures of starting times and end times. And it was something we had to be aware of. But my organization always ended up getting me more and more things to do. I remember one of my first jobs out of undergrad was an auditor. And my boss just kept giving me more and more audits. And I hate to say this, but there was one computer at that time for the entire department of 15 people. And so everything was paper. And I would go and get 8 desk trays every time he gave me a new audit. And I would set up my audit papers and fill them out and label them. I get everything structured. And each basket meant something. The ones at the top were when the papers were just getting started, when I was just getting them set up. If I went out and looked for something and I had a question and I was waiting for a feedback from someone, it went in another tray. And when I had responses back that I needed to integrate, that went in another tray. When I had something complete, it went in another tray. Something that I needed to put in the report was in another tray. And while that was a mechanical, manual system, I do the same thing today electronically, with technology, with lists. I've been using Evernote and digital pens and Wunderlist and other tools, my Outlook and my calendars, that help me track and know when to do things and what I need to move around. And I have things that have to happen, but they're blocks and they move based on the week. And I know things that can get pushed further out. I read a book one time and the guy says your list for the day should be on a 3x3 card or an index card, a 3x5 card. And if you can't get it in reasonable sized print on that to-do list for the day, then you have too many things to do for that day. And so productivity is about being mindful about your schedule. It's about managing the things that have to happen administratively or structurally and balancing it with what you're good at, when it's the optimum times to work, and learning to say no, or learning to realize that some things don't have to be perfect. It's about delegating when you have the opportunity to delegate, or teaming with someone. I worked with a guy when I was at Ford, and we were the perfect complement because he loved details. He would get in the micro elements of the financial models and answering questions and building things out. And I would sit there and we would get an assignment and I could see what needed to be built. And I was capable of building it, but that wasn't my best strength. He loved taking that bigger structure that I would design and I would lay out. And he liked going back in and putting the millions of little details about part numbers and components and how things would flow and mapping that in. And where I could say where we would be in 5 or 10 years, or where something had to end up in the model and I could see it clearly, he could never see that. But once I gave him the structure, he could build all the details to get us from where we were to where we needed to be. And so that was a great compliment. He worked to his strengths. I worked to my strengths. And so that's another way that we can maximize what we get done, is by doing the things that only we can do and delegating the things that other people can do, and it's their strengths. We have 2 arms, right? We have 2 legs. We don't have 2 heads. And so when we're thinking about things, our minds, our brains, our motivations, our capabilities come from our intellect, from our natural physical inclinations. And so when we have 2 people with 4 hands and 2 heads coming together, or 3 people coming together to look at a problem, to solve something, working to their skill sets, to their strengths, and then when those strengths are complementary, the team does better. Less time is wasted, the creativity, the bouncing of ideas off of one another, and then everyone playing to their strengths. Someone is great at relationships and diplomacy, and I was born without a diplomacy gene. And you need to get information from different places, and that person can go out and do it. And I can make the big structures, and the other person can fill in the details. Some people have expertise in large organizations and navigating those paths, and others have strengths in dealing with politics. It's just playing to that and finding ways to find complementary skills that we don't have that others do, and then we work together towards things. And we frankly need to reboot, retool, rethink what we've been doing. I always try to, like, every 3 to 4 months, at most every 6 months, I look to see if there's a better tool for me to use for managing things and communicating things and getting information back and forth. And one of the tools I've been using with clients for a number of years now is Dropbox. And so they can put in a file. A guest on the radio show can send me information and put it in Dropbox. And it was working great until everyone started toughening up their firewalls. And so things that we were using before, I could build a website and put information out there for people to share. And now we find a lot of the websites, a lot of the Dropboxes and things are stopped by firewalls when I'm interacting with government employees at the state, federal, and local levels or major technology companies. They don't have the ability to go out to Dropbox or put something in Dropbox in their day job. They can still access it with their personal emails and things. But we're having to find new tools and new ways to exchange files, new tools and new ways to communicate information. And so as technology changes, as the demands on our time changes, we have to stop doing workarounds and find solutions and redesign things and solve our problems as to what's consuming our time. I loved my digital pen because I can write things out, I can sketch things out, and I can record conversations, and it loads over to my computer, and I have those notes. And I know one of my clients, when I first started using the digital pen, said I sent him the meeting notes in my handwriting, and I can have apps retype them and things, but in this case, it wasn't really necessary. It was a quick sketch and a few words about something, and he emailed me, he says, "You sent me your grocery list," and I laughed. I responded, I said, "No, I couldn't have sent you my grocery list because my grocery list isn't something I'm going to write with this pen." Not that I couldn't, it's just separation again. And so we need to look at our workflows. We need to look at optimizing our time. We need to work to our strengths. We need to look for increments of time. We may want routines, but what you consider a routine and what I consider a routine may be two different things. Again, going to a calendar and color coding it. Being able to move blocks of time around, so when I need to do my accounting for the week or I need to do something that's routine and administrative for the business, I can block that out for a Monday morning or a Friday morning or a Wednesday afternoon. And then when something changes, I just know I still have to have that block of time somewhere in my week. It has to get done. And so I'm going to drag and drop that around based on what happens and what my priorities are for the week. I may have to do something in the evening, so then I'm going to counter and give myself some time during the day somewhere to balance out the life at work. And so for me, I always have to schedule my creative, problem-solving, diagnostic, client elements first, and then see where everything else comes second, third, and fourth. And defining what those elements are. So if it's a meeting with a client, as much as possible, I'm going to be there for that, whether that's a phone meeting, a Skype meeting, or an in-person meeting. I'm going to have them call me because I tend to run early. And if they're calling me, I know, and they tend to run late, I'm going to be able to keep working until they call. Where if I'm trying to call them and catch them, I'm wasting time on the phone. So I always prefer to have someone call me rather than me call them unless I'm on the road. I'm going to set things in the morning that are challenging, less challenging than things I'm going to do in the afternoon. I'm going to use the time when my energy levels slump for meetings, for things that are administrative. But I'm not going to use those slump times for the times when I need to be doing my best work on the most complex tasks. And so, what time of day is that for you? You may, again, want to do routine things. And those things may always consist of early in the morning you're going to do them. Other times, it's going to be based on energy levels, or it may be based on how high of level of pain are you in for your migraine? Is it a lay down in a dark room with no sound? Or is it something you can function and do things with your glasses on, with sunglasses on? And I used to be known as Hollywood in the corporate America because I didn't share that I had really extreme migraines, but I could wear sunglasses inside and it would help and I would continue to function. And so we have to find our physical rhythms, our energy rhythms, our creative rhythms, our disciplined structures that work for us. And we have to learn to keep our to-do list to the priority things that are important to us, that we have to do related to our jobs, that require our time, our effort, our commitment. And the other thing we need to do is have a method that enables us to capture those commitments, large and small. And again, I'm using Wunderlist. I use Outlook Tasks. I have other things in Evernote. And everybody says, oh, you can put everything in Evernote. Again, how does your brain work? For me, Evernote didn't have enough layers and enough structures for it. So it's great for me to use as a repository when I'm writing my books and I'm doing my research and I'm working on one book and I come across something that belongs in another. And so in Evernote, it's great. I can capture it. I can file it away from when I go to the next to that other book, and I'm not going to go back searching and saying, oh, I knew what book was that. I knew I was going to remember it. I don't have to worry about that. If I'm doing online research, I can save it. I can have that reference. Same thing. There's so many things that I can do with Evernote or OneNote or whatever tool you're using. But it wasn't functioning for me for lists. I had a list program. I had swipes, and it didn't quite do everything I wanted. And then I started trying Wunderlist, and right now it's working with the levels of structures. It's allowing me to create lists for clients, and we exchange information. And I'm able to capture every little thing that is on my plate, which is either reminding clients about, and it's in that list for their reminders, or it's to remind me. And my technology frequently becomes my electronic brain so that I don't lose track of things that I promise to do. It may be putting your prayer requests for your prayer time in a list, and so you don't forget that you promise to pray for someone. You can schedule things that need structure and that have hard start and end times that are you're required to do, and then you can play with the elements that you need to move around based on what's happening in your day and the demands of your day. On any given day, in any given week, I'm harnessing what energy I have to get as much done as I possibly can. And that means personal commitments, that means client commitments, that means volunteer commitments, it means health commitments, it means running errands and going to the grocery store, cooking dinner, you know, taking care of the pets. Whatever we need to do, the less time we spend looking for things that we need to do those things with, whether that's your grocery list, whether that's the list of errands, and for me, I try to sequence. I know it sounds very anal, but if I'm going to go out and do things, I want to sequence them so that I'm not backtracking over town. I'm not wasting time. I'm not wasting gas. So I'm going to look up what time something opens on a Saturday. What time do they close? I'm going to try to map out and say, well, I have to go to that bank because it's the only bank location open on a Saturday. Then I'll go here to pick up this. I'll run by the farmer's market. I'll order them in. And so some Saturdays by 10 o'clock, I have all of my errands done, and then I have the rest of the day to do other things. Same thing during the week. I am blessed. I own my business, and I have the flexibility to decide what I'm doing early and what I'm doing late. And I can sequence things. And so if things are open and I need to take a donation to the Dorcas shop, I can run and do that. If I need to take things to the dump, if I need to schedule things around the house, if the plumber's coming, if the painter's coming, if the carpets need clean, I work around the personal things and I can balance them with the professional things, continuing education. I mean, there are just so many demands on our time, and it's structure, it's tools, it's leveraging technology, and it's also learning to say no. That's not me. That's not for me to do. I'm going to hire that done, or I'm going to turn down that request for something. And it may be as simple as someone just wanting to get together for lunch. And if my schedule doesn't allow it, and I in a week I've decided, well, I'm only going to do two lunches this week, and those have already been taken with clients or something client-related or prospect-related, then I'm going to say no to a meeting that's not in the structure and not in the priorities for this time frame, I'll give them an option to get together in November or December. We're sitting here in August, and that sounds strange. But if it's not in the business pipeline, if it's not in the prospect mode, if it's not a priority in a structure, if it's not a commitment I've already made and my plate is full, I have to be honest and I have to be up and say, my plate is full and I can't meet you right now. You've asked for three things. One is a lunch meeting. No, it's not in the structure. Two, you want referrals to clients for that this category of things. Well, I don't have any clients currently that and you want to talk to me about X, Y, and Z. Well, that's not in the priorities for the business right now. I would love to hear about that. But after I've finished up the major events and projects I'm doing for the next couple of months, I'll be coming up for air in November. That's a time for us to sit down. And so it's, again, it's communication. It's not saying they're not important to me. It's just that they're not high enough on the priority list based on what I have on my plate right now. And I'm just honest with people about that. And so that starts clearing out the calendar so that the things I do care about, the things I want to volunteer to do, the things I need to do to revamp the business, to keep the business current, to keep the creativity flowing, to have time to work on new books and articles, to keep my social media buffer filled, those are types of things that by saying no, I take the pressure off. By having the structure and saying, what am I going to do in any particular time frame? That's what's going to happen. Something else I've had to realize about myself personally in starting my business, and people were always telling me you can't do your business that way, is that the creative part of my business is as important to me as the analytic part of my business. And so when I am analyzing and diagnosing a business, the spark of creativity that generates as to finding a solution is something that gives me energy. And so I also have to balance the type of clients and projects I take on. Because if things are routine and if they're not really the best use of my skill set, they don't give me that creative spark. They're not relationship building. They're not energizing. Then I need to make adjustments in who I'm going to consider as a prospect and how many clients I'm going to accept at any given time. This year, I changed my entire business model, really, based on how I was interacting with clients. I took on one major client that takes 50 to 75% of my week. And then I have another 8 clients that are long-term clients that take up another 20%, and that's, you know, any given week I have at least 5% of my time to be completely creative, and sometimes during the week I have 25% of that time, and it's managing that with how many new clients will I take on, what type of projects, and then keeping the customer service and the quality of service up for my existing clients and nurturing those relationships. But to nurture those relationships and to do justice to my clients, I have to nurture the ability to be creative and productive. If I'm treading water, if I'm doing only routine things, then that's not going to energize me enough to get motivated on a daily basis to do that. And that's me. And you may be completely and are completely different. And you have to find that right mix of the type of clients, the type of business, the type of interactions that you're doing on a daily basis. And you have to be realistic. That's something I have struggled with in my life, thinking, well, I can get X done or I can get Y done in this amount of time. Creatively, I can knock out an article of about 600 to 700 words sometimes in about 15 or 20 minutes because I've had the discipline of structuring that over the course of the last 15 years in my business. I arrive places early, and so I can work on that. I can get the majority of the article done then. And with technology of software that checks the grammar and the punctuation, I can really pop out productivity on topics that really energize me, and it gets that those creative juices flowing. And so it's important to me to be able to do that, but it's a process, it's a discipline, it's a practice, it's a structure that I've taught myself. And so what are you going to teach yourself? What energizes you that you can give that structure to your workflow to enable you to spend at least part of each day doing those things that energize you despite the daily routine, the firefighting, the demands on your time, and the hard edges of the structure of places you have to be, things you have to do, and not necessarily at your optimal time. Think of things that make you eager to get into work. Think about things that are a balance of short-term firefighting versus your big picture goals. If we're always firefighting, we are never going to accomplish our long-term goals. And so how do we 10 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day, 10 or 15 minutes several times a day, work towards those longer-term objectives and those goals? We do it by creating a practice, a routine, a structure, for want of better words, that say, well, if I have a lunch meeting, I'm going to make sure I'm at the restaurant a half hour early. As soon as the restaurant opens, I'm going to give myself some time sitting there in a quiet restaurant with a nice beverage, working on an article, or working on a client project, or pulling up a website and working on it, whatever it is that we're doing, that we can carve out that time that gets us towards a larger goal. We have to learn to build that into our schedules. If you can't take a time out during the day, your ability, your capacity to generate work, to be productive, declines. So whether that's taking a walk at lunch, running to the gym, getting up every couple hours and just taking a stroll around the workplace, running to the restroom and taking a time out, you know, something, you have to do something that shifts your mind, that shifts yourself to a quiet space, to a time to pull back in, take a deep breath, let everything out, and think, okay, all this is coming at me. All these things still need to get done. I'm just going to be quiet for a second, and then I'm going to restructure things. I'm going to check my 3x5 card. I'm going to look at my wonder list. I'm going to check my schedule. I'm going to look at my priorities. I'm going to dig into these things, and I'm going to figure this out. What things can be put off? What things have to happen? What things can I just do a little bit on right now? How can I restructure my day? How can I ask for help? And that last one, how can I ask for help? We don't do it enough. We all think we have to be Wonder Woman and Superman riding to the rescue and not needing any help. But asking for help is showing your strength, your acknowledgement that I can't do everything myself. You want to bring your skills and your talents fully to life. And that means sometimes stepping back and acknowledging that I'm being asked to do things that are really not in my ballpark, that are not in my strengths. They're not playing to the strengths that I should be bringing forward. And asking for help early and often when you're struggling is difficult to admit. When you're hiring people around you and they're so much savvier on technology than you are, and you don't know how to use your new iPhone, or you're having email problems, or, you know, just little things. You don't know how to help your clients because you don't understand the new software everything's using. You're using software that's teaming software so you can share files and it's not working and you don't know why. Asking for help and admitting that you don't know everything is actually a strength, in my opinion. And I think experience will bear that out. People don't mind helping you. People don't want to do your work for you. But when you show the respect for their expertise, for their strengths, for their abilities, and can admit that they're better at something than you are, they're going to be more open to coming to you for you to help them with things that are your strengths. And we all need to be able to do that. Our businesses succeed, our lives succeed, when we play to our strengths, when we are consistent in how we set our priorities, how we spend our time, where we invest our time. And when we can build teams and connections and workshops, you know, people that we're connected to through the workforce, that enable us to connect, to have complementary skills, to not think we have to be all things to everybody, then that interaction strengthens our ability to execute. I hate balancing a checkbook. My mother loves balancing a checkbook. I call her my company mom, manager of operational messes. And so, you know, if it stresses you out, not that you can't do it, but it's just something you don't like to do, hire it done, even if it's your mom doing it. You hate driving in traffic? Maybe you need to have an Uber driver or a Lyft driver. I always joked and said, when my business hit a certain level, I wouldn't be hiring an assistant, I'd be hiring a driver, because I spent so much time traveling and driving around that having a driver was creating more time for me to get things done. And for me, a car is a creative space where there are fewer distractions, your phone is off, you're not talking on the phone because you're in the car, if you're driving or riding. There's all kinds of things that you can do. I use a digital voice recorder, voice activated, and I can have everything off, the quiet in the car, and I can be creative and have all kinds of problem solving, free-flowing thoughts get captured and translate those later. I get great article ideas when I'm in the car, and it's just very empowering if you can find your strength, play to it, and use technology to help you do that and have teaming relationships to bring things together. And then find quiet times, alone times, where you can hear yourself think, because you need to hear yourself think. You need to be able to be aware of what's going on and what's not working, what's working for you. So if you want to be productive, if you want to capture a lot, if you want to be successful, let's think of it this way. You need to build a structure, a system, a process, a routine that works for you, given where you work, how you work, your energy levels, when you're at your most creative and effective, and manage those processes. You need to decide what your strengths are and how you work to your strengths. So if you're going to accomplish a lot, you need to know how to maximize your strengths and set up systems that mitigate your weaknesses, that build around your strengths, that allow you to team with people who are strong where you're weak, offset it with technology and tools, and be aware of working to your strengths in accepting assignments, in delegating, in asking for help. Do what works for you as much as possible that still respects what other people have to have done. But don't be so rigid in the hard edges of appointments and times that you become inflexible or so structured that there is no time for you, for thinking, for stopping, for creativity. Find ways to jumpstart your creativity, whether that is creating a structures, creating quiet times, creating a routine time that you take out for yoga, for a workout, for a walk, or for just quiet time with music. Shift to reading and learning. Always being able to reevaluate how you've been doing things. Look for things that trigger you to be creative. Work consistently towards your goals. There are fires you have to put out on a daily basis, things that you have to do in a daily routine. But carve out small increments of time consistently, or larger blocks of time if you can, to work towards your long-term goals. Be aware of what those are and just kind of keep track. You want to write a book? Do it 10 minutes at a time. Arrive places a half hour early before a meeting if you can. Sit in your car and use a voice recorder and dictate things. Use your iPhone. Use your Android. Whatever devices you have, there's so many ways that you can, through speaking, record your ideas, your thoughts, have them transcribed. Use software that will transcribe them as you talk, like Dragon Naturally Speaking. I'm not a paid endorser of these. I'm just telling you some of the tools that I've used and use effectively to minimize the time I spend doing things and transcribing things and capturing ideas and having them available. I've talked about Evernote, the LiveScribe Digital Pens, Wunderlist, Avana, Outlook, calendars, color coding, file organization, time alone. Spend some time every day getting organized. Do things you don't like to do during the times that you're not at your best, but don't put them off either because they just hang over your head. And find times when you can cut out all distractions. And as strange as it may seem, but schedule the times to do nothing, to have downtime, to cut out the ding of a message arriving, of a text message arriving. Turn off your equipment, turn your back on it, cover it, walk away from it. 10 minutes of complete quiet time, sitting in your car, taking a walk around the block. Find some place that you can be completely quiet and look inside and recenter yourself. In the business world, things are getting easier and easier to do that. In the old days, other than taking a cigarette break at some corporations, there wasn't downtime and quiet time. There would never be someone over in the corner doing yoga or bringing their pet to work. It's finding time to do the things that recenter you, that re-energize you, so that you can do more later. A 10-minute nap. I think Winston Churchill was a great napper, and we've had some presidents that could go to sleep and just take a quick 10-minute cat nap, although my cat naps for hours, and wake up that little bit more focused and energized and ready to go for hours on end. Bring focus back into your life and into your structure. Don't multitask as much as we all would like to think we can do. Multitasking distracts ourselves. Our mind is split. And so there are only so many things that we can really do and do really well when we're doing multiple things at a time. And the old joke was about walking and chewing gum at the same time. Well, we shouldn't be walking and texting at the same time or on our cell phone and driving at the same time. But you can have a voice-activated recorder in your car, or you have your phone on, have Dragon Naturally Speaking running on your computer, and you're driving down the road and you can think through some things. You can problem solve. You can dictate an article. Just don't get so distracted in your writing and your creativity that you're not paying attention to the road. Stay focused. The more time you can stay focused, even if it's 10 minutes of completely focused attention, you can get so much done. And you can add a little bit more time. You can do little blocks of time several times a day. Find tasks that allow you to get in your zone of productivity. Try changing locations. Have my home office. But some days my creativity is just not going to happen sitting in that home office. I need to get out to a restaurant and see some activity going on and hear conversations. And it energizes me. There's a reason my company is called Focus. There's a reason this radio show is Focus on Business. Because I know that when I am focused, when my energy is my strength, everything that I can is honed and laser focused, then things work better. I get more done. I can manage my time more effectively when I'm going to put smaller increments of time to designing things, to creating things, to managing things and structuring things. You have to find the heartbeat of how you work, the pace, the structure, the systems that work for you, the tools. Technology may not work for you. Technology may be something that you try to avoid as much as possible. I go through times when I don't keep a list on the computer. I keep a list manually, again, related to a migraine. But, you know, sometimes I have to minimize the amount of time I'm spending looking at a computer screen or at the iPad or at the iPhone. And during those times, I have pen and paper that I can pull over and start keeping the list the old way. Whatever it is, whatever your challenges, whether they're physical, emotional, demands on your time, dictated work schedules, priorities that other people set, you need to find time to focus. Focus on what's important to you. In my book, 10-Minute Goals, 10-Minute Success Goals, 10 minutes every day is all I ask for you to find to work on your goals. Can you do that? For 10 minutes once a day, in six days, you'll spend an hour on your goals. Just take 10 minutes to focus on the important things. You've been listening to Focus on Business, and I'm your host, Lee Strickland. Until next time, everyone, please do focus on the important things.